The Cretan Boy. Kronos may have grunted with satisfaction, but Moros, the figuration of destiny and doom, smiled, as he always does when the powerful exhibit confidence. On this occasion, Moros smiled because he could see that Zeus was flourishing on Crete. He was growing into the strongest and most striking male in all creation. Indeed, his radiance had become almost painful to look upon, as is often the case with extraordinarily attractive people. It is incumbent upon us to apologize or look away when our beauty causes discomfort. The goodness of goat's milk and the nurturing potency of manna had given him strong bones, a clear complexion, sparkling eyes, and glossy hair. He made the journey, to use the Greek terms, from Pais, boy, and Ephebos, teenager, to Kuros, youth, and thence into a fine example of what we might call today a young adult. Even now, the first downy outlines of what was to become a legendary and mighty example of the art of the beard were showing themselves on his chin and cheeks. The question of how long it took for immortals to be weaned, to walk, talk, and grow into adulthood is a vexed one. Some sources maintain that Zeus grew from a baby into young manhood in a single year. Divine time and mortal time seem to have run differently, just like those of dogs and humans do, or elephants and flies, for example. It is probably best for us not to concentrate in too literal a fashion on the temporal structure of myth. Zeus possessed the confidence, the unforced air of command that marks out those destined to lead. He was quicker to laughter than anger, but when his ire was roused, he could frighten every living creature within his orbit. From the first, he exhibited a blend of zest for life and strength of will that filled even his mother with awe, and some attested that Amalthea's milk conferred extraordinary capabilities on the youth as he grew. To this day, Cretan guides entertain visitors with tales of the young Zeus's remarkable powers. They tell the story, as if it happened within their lifetimes, of how, as an infant, playing with his beloved nanny goat and unaware of his own strength, Zeus accidentally snapped off one of her horns. Zeus was always playful. The Romans called him Jupiter, or Jove, so he had quite literally a jovial disposition. The bringer of jollity, Gustav Holst calls him in his orchestral suite, The Planets. But by virtue of his already prodigious divine powers, this broken horn instantly filled itself with the most delicious food. Fresh bread, vegetables, fruit, cured meats, and smoked fish, a supply that never gave out, no matter how much was taken from it. Thus originated the celebrated Horn of Plenty, the cornucopia. Zeus's determined mother visited Crete whenever she felt able to slip away from the ever-watchful Kronos. "Never forget what your father did. He ate your brothers and sisters. He tried to eat you. He is your enemy." Zeus would listen as Rhea described the unhappy condition of the world under Kronos. "He rules by fear. He has no sense of loyalty or trust. This is not the way, my Zeus." "Doesn't that make him strong?" "No, it makes him weak. The Titans are his family, his brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces. Already some are beginning to resent his monstrous tyranny. When your time comes, you will exploit that resentment."
"Yes, Mother."
"A true leader forges alliances. A true leader is admired and trusted."
"Yes, Mother."
"A true leader is loved."
"Yes, Mother."
"Oh, you laugh at me, but it is true."
"Yes, ma—"
Rhea slapped her son. "Be serious. You are no fool. I can see that for myself.
Adamantia tells me that you are intelligent but impetuous, that you spend too much time hunting wolves, teasing the sheep, climbing trees, seducing the ash tree nymphs. It is time you were properly schooled. You are 16 now, and soon we must make our move.
Yes, Mother.